Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Night Tales Creepypasta podcast. You can also watch these stories with visuals and extra content on my YouTube channel, and I strongly encourage you to subscribe while you're there. Now, here comes today's story. I hope you enjoy it. I first heard about Sam a few weeks after we moved in. One morning at breakfast, my son Max, who'd just turned 5, casually mentioned, "Sam doesn't like the cereal with the raisins." I laughed it off, assuming Sam was a new friend from preschool. But Max gave me a puzzled look. "No, Dad. Sam lives in my closet." It started small, the kind of thing you chalk up to a child's imagination. Max spent more and more time alone in his room, talking in that quiet voice kids use with their stuffed animals. Sometimes he'd tell me Sam was hiding whenever I came to check on him, but I brushed it off. Kids have imaginary friends all the time, I told myself. It was a new house, new surroundings. Maybe Sam was his way of coping with the change. But then, there were the toys. I'd tuck Max into bed each night, making sure his toys were put away. But each morning, I'd find his little action figures lined up in front of his closet door, facing it like they were standing guard. "Max, why are your toys out again?" I asked one morning, hoping he wasn't sleepwalking. "Sam likes them to keep him company," he said simply. That's when the unease started, a quiet itch at the back of my mind. I didn't want to shut down his imagination, so I played along, hoping he'd move on to something else. But the more I asked, the more real Sam seemed to become. One night, as I tucked Max in, he looked up at me with those big, serious eyes kids get when they're about to tell you something important. "Dad, Sam used to live here," he said. "Oh?" I kept my tone light. "How do you know that?"
"He told me. He says he's sad because he can't play outside anymore."
A chill crept up my spine. "Why can't he go outside?" Max shrugged.
"He says he doesn't like it when people know he's here."
After that, Max's friendship with Sam took on a strange intensity. He'd talk to Sam every morning and insist on saying goodnight to him before bed. I noticed Max eating less, his attention often wandering, and he'd stare at the closet like he was listening to something I couldn't hear. One evening, I overheard Max whispering softly. It didn't sound like he was talking to himself. It sounded like he was answering someone. I peeked into his room. He was sitting on the floor, facing the closet, head tilted, as if listening closely. "Max," I called, trying to keep my voice casual. He whipped around, startled.
"Dad, don't interrupt. Sam doesn't like it when grown-ups interrupt."
That night, I lay in bed, every little creak in the house setting my nerves on edge. I kept thinking about Max alone in his room, whispering to a friend only he could see. The days went by, and things only got stranger. Max was adamant about setting out a plate of food at dinner time. "For Sam," he said. He even wanted me to leave a spot for Sam on the couch when we watched movies. One evening, I decided it was time to draw the line.
Max, I think maybe you and Sam have been spending a bit too much time together. Why don't you come sit with me in the kitchen while I clean up?
Max just looked at me, his face serious. Sam doesn't like being left alone.
Then he glanced toward the dark hallway as if Sam was standing there just out of sight. That was the moment my unease turned to real fear. I knew I had to do something before this Sam became more than just a game to Max. The next morning, I waited until Max was outside, then went up to his room. The closet door was slightly open, and I felt a strange pull to look inside. It was just a typical closet with shelves on one side and Max's clothes hanging on the other. But as I stood there, the air felt heavier, almost thick. I tried to shake it off, but something about that little space unsettled me deeply. I decided to try again that night to talk to Max about Sam. As I tucked him in, I spoke gently. "Max, I think it's time we said goodbye to Sam. He's just make-believe after all." Max's face fell.
"No, Dad, he's not make-believe. He's real. He told me he used to live here."
"Sweetie, how would he know that?" Max hesitated, then leaned in close and whispered, "He says he knows about the crawl space up in the attic and the small room behind the hidden door under the basement stairs." A chill shot down my spine. Max had never been up in the attic, and he'd definitely never seen that hidden door or room in the basement. When I asked how he knew, he just shrugged and pulled the blankets up to his chin. That night, I lay in bed, too tense to sleep. I kept replaying Max's words, trying to make sense of them. Secret places in the house, how could he know? And then I heard it, a faint, muffled sound from Max's room. It was whispering. I sat up, heart pounding, straining to listen. I could just barely make out Max's voice, but it sounded different. He was answering someone. I couldn't catch the words, but it was like he was responding to a voice I couldn't hear. Swallowing my fear, I crept down the hallway and opened his door. Max was sitting up in bed, facing the closet. "Max?" I whispered. He didn't answer. He just stared at the closet like he was listening to something only he could hear. "Max," I said again, a little louder. He turned around, his eyes wide and glassy. "He wants you to say goodnight to him," Max said softly. "He says he doesn't like it when adults ignore him." I took a shaky breath and stepped closer to the closet. "Good night, Sam," I whispered. And as I turned to leave, I could have sworn I heard something. A faint, dry whisper from inside the closet. "Good night." After that night, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was very wrong. The next day, I went to the library and dug through old property records and newspaper cuttings archived on microfilm. Most of the property history was routine information about previous owners, but in one faded newspaper entry, I stumbled upon a name, Sam Reynolds. Apparently, a boy named Sam had lived in our house in the 1960s. He'd vanished at age 10, disappearing one night from his bedroom closet, never to be seen again. I closed the file, my hands shaking.
It was really starting to look like Max's friend Sam wasn't just imaginary. He was a memory, a lingering presence. Someone who'd disappeared from this house years before we'd ever set foot in it.
That night, I checked in on Max. His little face looked peaceful in sleep, but the room felt different somehow. Heavier. I crossed to the closet and put my hand on the door. I pulled my hand back, feeling a strange reluctance to open the door. Instead, I left the room quietly. Sleep didn't come easily that night. I lay awake, wondering what secrets my own house might be keeping. The next morning, Max appeared in the doorway, his expression serious.
"Sam told me he's going to teach me something new," he said.
I forced a smile. "Oh, what's that?"
"He wants to teach me hide and seek."
My stomach dropped.
"Hide and seek?"
I repeated, forcing myself to sound calm. Max nodded, his face blank.
"Sam says he's really good at hiding. He knows all the best spots."
That night, I couldn't sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw Max's face. That strange, distant look, like he was listening to something I couldn't hear. Around 3 a.m., I heard a faint whispering from Max's room. I climbed out of bed as quietly as I could and made my way down the hall. I could hear Max's voice, murmuring softly. And another voice, faint and scratchy like an old recording, replying to him. I took a deep breath and opened the door. Max was sitting up in bed, facing the closet, his head tilted as if listening.
"Max," I said, my voice trembling, "who are you talking to?"
He turned slowly, his face blank.
"I told you, Sam doesn't like it when adults interrupt."
"Max, Sam isn't real," I said, struggling to keep my voice steady.
"He's just a story."
Max stared at me, his eyes unblinking.
"Sam is real, Dad. He told me he's always been here. He knows everything about this house."
A chill ran through me, but I pushed it down. It was late, too late for ghost stories and old names to start messing with my head. I took a steadying breath and forced a smile.
"It's been a long day, Max," I said gently.
"It's 3 in the morning. You need to go to sleep. Come on, let's get you back into bed." Max's eyes softened, but as I tucked him in, he looked up at me, his voice distant. "Good night, Dad. Good night. For now." As I turned to leave, I glanced at the closet. The door was slightly open, and for a moment I thought I saw something. A shadow shifting in the darkness. I shook my head, dismissing it as my imagination. I'd let myself get caught up in thoughts that were clearly nonsense, or at least that's what I tried to tell myself. The next day, while Max was playing outside in the backyard, I found myself drawn to his closet. Curiosity nagged at me, maybe a little fear of the unknown, or maybe the unsettling feeling that I was letting my imagination draw me into something that was probably nonsense. I opened the door and shone a flashlight into the dark closet. Inside, at the back, I found a small, loose panel.
My hands were trembling slightly as I pried it open and shined the flashlight into the dark space beyond. It was a narrow crawl space filled with dust and cobwebs, barely large enough for a child to fit inside. My heart pounded as I squinted into the shadows. And that's when I saw it. A small, dusty photograph. I reached in and picked it up. It was an old black and white photo of a boy, maybe 10 years old, with dark hair and wide, solemn eyes. Scrawled on the back in faded ink was a single name, Sam. Next to the photo was a crumbling journal. I flipped it open, careful not to damage the brittle pages. The handwriting was messy, the scrawl of a child. The final entry made my skin crawl.
I can't get out, it's so dark and I'm scared.
A wave of nausea washed over me. Sam had been real. A boy trapped here somehow, and he had never left. I stumbled back, backing out of the closet, my mind racing. How had Max known? How could he have known about Sam? As I stood there, trying to make sense of it, I heard a soft creak from behind me. I turned slowly, half expecting to see someone there, but the room was empty. That night, I couldn't bring myself to just put Max to bed. I had to talk to him, to ask him about Sam. But when I finally sat down on the edge of his bed with him, he just looked at me, his eyes calm and disturbingly empty.
Sam says you shouldn't be afraid of him. He just wants to play.
I forced myself to keep my voice steady. Max, listen to me. Sam isn't... he's not good for you. He's just a memory. Max stared at me, his expression blank.
No, Dad. He's here. He says he's been waiting for you to come play, too.
A chill crept over me.
Max, what do you mean?
He didn't answer. Instead, he turned his gaze toward the closet, his eyes fixed on the narrow crack where the door stood slightly open. He looked back at me, a small, strange smile creeping onto his face.
Good night, Dad,
he murmured, his voice soft, almost mocking.
Good night, for now.
I froze, my heart pounding as I stared at him. And in that instant, as his smile twisted into something unfamiliar, something cruel, I realized I was no longer looking at my son. I was looking at Sam. His eyes glinted with a cold amusement as he leaned in close and whispered,
I told you not to ignore me.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the story. And remember, there's a new original story coming out next Friday. If you did enjoy it and want to support the podcast, feel free to check out my Patreon link for ad-free episodes and early access. And please don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. You'll find the link in the show notes. The Night Tales Creepypasta podcast is available on most major podcast platforms, including Spotify, Amazon, and Apple Music. That's it for this week. Thanks again, and see you next time.